Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Are we truly in for the most dramatic, shocking, controversial season of all time? Of course we are, because we are every season, and that is true each and every day around here at Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egwumike, and Jhené, we got a lot to break down, as we just heard in the update there. Florida postponing their game coming up this weekend in the world of college football. In the NFL last night, tons to react to, a shocking blowout by the Tennessee Titans on our Tuesday night football foray. But did you watch The Bachelorette last night, and are you in with me on what could be the most shocking season of all time?
I didn't watch, but I will.
What? So, again, promises made and promises not being kept at this point. Is this what we have to build our relationship on, Jhené? This is the foundation? Lies, deceit?
Look, you got to help me with the chores in the house. You got to help me with all those things, because I'm doing that, and you just have your feet up on the lazy boy and you're watching TV.
You say
help me.
Did you say there's some chores in the house?
Yes.
I'm going to keep moving on. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and we got a great lineup of guests coming up today. Aaron Schatz of Football Outsider going to join us in about 30 minutes. Derek Fisher, your coach.
Yes, coach.
With the Sparks, and one of the Laker greats, here to talk about who we let in and how soon when it comes to the all-time Laker great conversations. And speaking of greats, and someone who had a doppelganger on The Bachelorette that Jhené watched last night, our very own Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, going to join us in a little bit. And Jhené, if you weren't watching last night for The Bachelorette, I hope you at least saw some of what we were both tuning into. The Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans that were the second screen option last night going out there. And I was surprised, Jhené, to see the level of whooping that the Tennessee Titans administered.
Yeah, I was surprised too. And you know what sort of stinks? Because this is one of those shuffle games, and it's sort of like, okay, you don't need to practice as much. Like, you know how you're an athlete and you go out there and you've always had this one argument. Coach, look, let's stay fresh. Let's stay fresh. Granted that the situation that kept them fresh, they were largely at fault. And so I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, is this one of those things where COVID and the health crisis and the way that, you know, things are getting postponed, and we can even talk about that later on if there's wiggle room towards the end of the season, is this one of those things that actually worked to the advantage of their players? Just looked ready to play, even though they didn't practice, but they looked fresh. Like, it was easy to move a body yesterday. And I just, as great of a win as it was for the Titans, I just kind of felt like, ugh, like this is one of those tough things that you're going to have to balance throughout the season.
This is an interesting thing, because we went through this with the NFL and preseason football, and the preseason games were without, and scoring was up, and week one looked really clean as far as penalties and other things. And we looked and said, man, that might be the last time we see that. A lot of coaches waking up and cringing today going, we still have to practice. We still would like to do that. But last night certainly didn't look like anyone needed it, especially not Derrick Henry, because over the course, we will talk about a lot of things from last night. Ryan Tannehill continuing to shine in one area of the game particular that makes me happy for him personally, what we saw from Josh Allen. But Derrick Henry is full grown, and last night had to remind, unfortunately, a longtime NFL veteran about that fact. Here's the sound a stiff arm makes as it shoots someone into the sun.
Looked like a Bill might have jumped. There's your flag. Here comes Henry to the left with a stiff arm. Throws a man down and goes out of bounds at the 40. Josh Norman, get you some. Oh, my.
Okay. Josh Norman, that's Thanksgiving dinner right there for you. Early.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That sound courtesy of 104.5 The Zone. And Jhené, we talked about this a while back with Marcus Spears, talking about moments where people get embarrassed. And I heard people say all the time when it comes to pro sports, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. But that was an extra special helping of pain.
I've got a better version of it. My coach at Stanford used to say, Jhené, well, not Jhené, to our team, because, you know, come on now. Some days you're the dog, and some days you're the hydrant.
You know what? I can say that is Josh Norman finding out very much so that you can at times be the hydrant in this one. He was, by the way, Mike Vrabel, their head coach, and really the whole team sort of embodied that stiff arm in the way that they talked about this game after the fact. Everyone really leaning into this idea, Chiné, that they were wronged in the way that they were treated in this process, that everybody on the outside wanted to make them the bad guys and all these things. Like, they kind of made the heel turn with this, and I'm looking at it going, this is a pandemic. This was an outbreak we were talking about with you guys, and we're going to try and do the football thing right now. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me, Chiné, to hear the chirping from the Titans after the fact, like we had scolded them for something that wasn't happening in front of everyone's eyes.
Yeah, I just think that's the nature of the way things go now, and when something tough happens, it's sort of like we dissect it. But, you know, I do think that, you know, this was, we have end zone and friend zone, and when you look at the outcome, especially with the Bills, you just sort of wonder about Josh Allen. Like, we sort of were hoping that that trend would continue. Oh, Christine's not here today. We were hoping that that trend would continue, but it's sort of like we were sort of brought back to reality. And so when you look at Josh Allen's performance, what do you make of it?
I think it was just key situations that allowed this to kind of snowball out of control for this team, because you looked at Josh Allen, there were still some really impressive throws, some throws that were emblematic of all the areas of growth that we've seen from Josh, but it was a couple of critical third downs. Certainly special teams played a role for this team early on in not being able to hold serve, and then really once the Titans scored right before the half, you felt things kind of shift in that one, as Ryan Tannehill looked like he was going to hurt himself in the middle of a celebration, which would be a shame, because Chiné, when I look on the other side, because I think the Buffalo Bills are still one of the better teams in the AFC. I still think they're a team prime to win that division in the AFC East. But when we look at the Titans in this race, and we know they had become largely known for the positive COVID cases, I do want to let Ryan Tannehill shine a little bit, because he's someone a lot of people had questions for coming off last season and coming off the contract extension that he got this offseason. He was 5 for 5 with 3 touchdown passes in the red zone last night. This season, he's 14 for 18, 9 touchdowns and no interceptions. Last season, starting in about week 7, but last season overall, there were 3 passers with 70% completion percentage overall and in the red zone. And this is, I'm sorry, since 1991. Ryan Tannehill, Drew Brees from 1998, and Steve Bleeping Young in 1993. So you've got elite category and elite company for what Ryan Tannehill's been doing in the end zone now going into the 2020 season, now going into next year. And so I feel like, especially for a guy that dealt with injuries for so long, was in a bad situation in Miami, watching him consistently produce, it to me is pretty satisfying.
Yeah, you're right. And use the word snowball. And, you know, it can really snowball, because I believe it was Josh Allen's 2 interceptions that were actually converted into touchdowns for the other side. And so that makes things, you know, change in a hurry. But with Tannehill especially performing at a level that's above average, plus Henry on the ground, how legit are these Titans?
Well, don't ask me. We can ask our own ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark and hear what he said.
We got to stop treating the Titans like they aren't doing what they're doing, like they aren't putting the film out that says we're 11-3 with Ryan Tannehill as a starter. We were 2-1 in the playoffs and made it to the AFC Championship. This team was 6 for 6 in the red zone last night, and that's not just kicking field goals. They were 6 for 6 with touchdowns, and that's amazing to do. That's amazing efficiency, and Mike Vrabel has this team playing in a way that works for them. They're going to be physical in the run game. The quarterback is going to make great decisions with both his arms and his legs, and they're going to play tough, physical defense. You have to love what they're doing. You have to say to yourself, you know what, no matter how it looks, this team is a contender in the AFC, and all they do is continue to win.
And Chiné, we can both appreciate this. What Mike Vrabel's done there coaching-wise has created a very good, and the culture word gets abused a lot in these situations, but the team reflects their leader. Attitude reflects leadership in this situation, and Mike Vrabel has created a very tough-minded team, and one that also is going to go us against the world, and I don't necessarily vibe with the way that they're doing it right now. We're going to get into what they're playing this up as they balk at the outside world's criticism of the way they've handled this COVID outbreak. But, Chiné, you know this, a lot of that doesn't matter in the sports sense, in that it works very well for them.
Yeah, it does, and it has, and we've seen it happen. And now, you know, it's funny, I feel like you say all of that just to say that you could drop a Remember the Titans quote whenever you wanted.
100%. Absolutely. Listen, you got to tighten up, and this is one of the many ways that we do that. Chiné and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, our guest list for today, Aaron Schatz, Derek Fisher, and Adam Schefter are going to join us. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 3 hours on demand in the ESPN app. But coming up next, we had a major move announced last night in the midst of all the drama unfolding on the screen. Maybe the biggest bit of drama came out of New York, and the team should not surprise anybody. We'll get to that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We believe this decision is in the best interest of both parties. That sounds like a textbook mutual breakup that none of us probably believe in. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Shanae Agwumike. Shanae, is that almost ever true when you look at a situation, sports relationships or otherwise, where everyone says this is best for everybody involved and they actually mean it?
There is no such thing as a mutual breakup. One person is losing. One person started it. And if you feel like, oh, it's mutual. No, they pushed you there. Heads up.
And this is going to be the interesting part. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because as you heard coming back, the Jets last night in the middle of me trying to watch Tuesday Night Football, which popped up because of everything going on with COVID.
Oh, and also your bottom five, number one.
My bottom five, number one, the New York Football Jets, obviously holding down that spot, dropped this news that Le'Veon Bell is being released. In this instance, they could not find a trade partner. We had heard the rumblings. We mentioned this yesterday that he was unhappy. And so the Le'Veon Bell era with the Jets ends. And since arriving in 2019, Shanae, he has averaged just 4.1 yards per touch, second fewest in the NFL over that span among players with 200 touches. The only player with fewer in that span was his backup, Frank Gore, before arriving to the Jets. Bell's 129 scrimmage yards per game were the most in NFL history. So as you look at this situation, Shanae, I know we don't think this was a mutual thing. So why do we think the Jets feel like paying Le'Veon Bell still, because they have to pay, I think, the prorated $6 million they still owe him this season, to go away was ultimately a decision they landed on?
Again, it comes back to athletes in their prime or around their prime and not wanting to waste it. And it's unfortunate that Levy and the Jets.
Oh no.
I had to put in the remix. Levy and the Jets. I can't believe I had to add to another person to the song, but when there's an organization where you essentially are becoming the laughingstock of the NFL and you're a player that feels like there we go. That's a remix. Levy!
Which, by the way, I appreciate Levy and the Jets. I would also like to posit, because we were doing this during the break, Levy on my wayward son.
Oh!
Go with that one.
No, you don't say it. You have to sing it. Go.
Levy on my wayward son. There'll be carries when you are done. Put your leery legs to rest. Don't you fly no more, Jets. There we go. Perfect. So there, we've got him out of there in song in this instance. And Shanae, I look at this and I think that this is a situation that unfortunately reeks of what we saw last time from Adam Gase when he was with the Miami Dolphins, of players being pushed out, disagreements in the locker room here that ultimately ended in someone that the organization did not seem to get along with going to another place. And I think this is another instance, because we know fit matters so much, even for elite players, but especially to positions like running back, Shanae, and really in any sport. Fit matters so much, and I feel like Le'Veon Bell's skill set in a place that's much more competent and put together as a team is still going to be one that's an asset to somebody, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to land somewhere, but I think as much as fit matters, so does belief. And it's so hard being in a position. I was put in this position when I was, with the Connecticut Sun, who has completely climbed out of that, like in WNBA finals and playoffs. But when I first got there, you know, we had to find a way to win. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. But we went through a couple coaches where, okay, we had to find the right fit. And so I think that begs a bigger question, or even the conversation of, where does Gase fit in this? Because if you have players that are disgruntled and you're mutually breaking up, and yes, we know that shelf life there is probably not too long unless think like some kind of humongous miracle holding on this season. Like, where do you think the state of the New York Jets are in the front office when you're dealing with a coach and also players that just seem to be underperforming, and you have to deal with the consequences with that as well?
Well, I'll tell you where the state of the Jets is right now. I believe our Football Power Index, our ESPN Football Power Index, gives them the highest chance for the number one overall pick, a whopping 42%. That would be well over the second place team in that venture, the New York Giants, at 25%. So the Jets seem to have a stranglehold on that going forward, Shanae, and I think the difficult decision becomes, we all look at this and say, Adam Gase does not appear long for this world, as 0-for teams around the NFL are already starting to make coaching changes. we can't imagine this goes on much longer, because the only way the Jets are going to look right in any of this is they start to build a foundation. I think Le'Veon can land, and Bill Barnwell did a great article on ESPN.com talking about potential destinations, and I love the idea of the Arizona Cardinals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as one of those spots. Cards are great spot.
I like the Cards.
They're an offense in Cliff Kingsbury that loves throwing to the running back out of the backfield, using that as an extension, and who throws the ball to the back more than Tom Brady, or uses backs in a more versatile way in an offense that might need it based on how it's gone with Shady McCoy and Leonard Fournette so far. But I just look at this and say, if you're the Jets, you've got the anti-Patriot syndrome, where everything you do is wrong until you start to prove otherwise in the spot. And the only way you can prove that is by making the decisions you need to at head coach, and then giving whoever comes in next, assuming Joe Douglas is going to stick around, their GM, free rein to make the decisions necessary on the football side going forward. Which means if you got the number one overall pick, you're taking Trevor Lawrence if you feel that is the move you need to make. And I'd imagine most people feel that way at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. That's our campaign motto here on the show, Win Never for Trevor. But, you know, you bring up something, and this is one argument that you've made, and you even actually highlighted one of my side piece teams, which could be a really good spot for him to land. The Cardinals, having a coach come in with a quarterback that you can sort of see hand in hand, seems like it's lining up for New York, the Jets. You know, eventually a coaching change, and then possibly having the highest chance at having the number one pick. It seems like that's the trend that the NFL is moving towards, and that's something you've always said is so important, to have a young quarterback, then also a coach that works with you, you know, hand in hand. And as you are developing this offense, is something that you have a vision. It's not like you're plug and play. It's like, all right, we have two pieces that work together, and only good things can come from that.
It's going to be really interesting to watch this all going forward, because no one's expected anything from the Jets for a long time. And it's even as I sit here now, Chiney, I look at Adam Gase and I say, yeah, you know what? At this point, we can probably say Adam Gase is not an NFL head coach in the future anymore. Like, he's gotten enough chances at that and shown us who he is. But this is also the Jets. Like, the reputation of this organization for dysfunction is so much bigger than any one person that I struggle to think that it's all just going to go away the minute you rid yourself of Adam Gase in this, too.
Yeah, I agree. So what do you think is the best option for...
Oh, tell
my gosh.
Me you're getting a phone call on it right now.
This I am so
is,
sorry.
No,
this
no.
Is, I knew this was going to happen to me at some point. You guys, I'm doing this for my home, my office, and I have about 50 million screens, and the problem is everything needs to be up and running. So I knew at some point, and I have a big old family that always wants to check on me. So I'm going to shame my little sister, Arima Ogwumike, for calling me right on
here. Oh, wow. Isn't she the
shaming
one
who, her. Oh, my gosh,
the one
I can't
that just
stop
got
it.
Her, like, white lab coat for being, like, a doctor?
Okay, why are you coming to her defense? Yes,
I'm just
she
saying,
might be in
like,
medical school, and yes, she might have just had her white coat. We're very proud of her, but that doesn't give her the right to call me anytime she wants to after I texted her not to call me. Okay, sorry. This
that
is
Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, now that you've got time to collect yourself, we'll give you time to get in touch with your sister and let her know that everything is going well on the show. If she would like to call in, 888-729-3776.
I'm going to make her do this now.
Holler on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But coming up next, we have watched time and time again people in the world of sports try to use some of the issues that pop up around a global pandemic as a means to establish competitive advantage. And we've got to fix that situation. That and the cruelest stat in sports coming up next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm sitting around last night, minding my own business, and I come across, I am not an Atlanta sports fan. I don't even play one on TV, Chiney. I came across one of the cruelest stats I've ever seen. I don't know if everyone believes in a higher power, but this one stat alone will make people a believer at the way that the Atlanta fans are being personally attacked. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and Chiney and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chiney and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football is back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And, Chiney, it feels weird to say that as we're getting ready to talk about what we just heard from Doug Brown during the update, that the Florida Gators are postponing their game this weekend against LSU because of an outbreak of at least 19 COVID-19 cases on the team.
Yes, I know. It seems kind of surreal. We all were fingers crossed, but then now it's sort of like the universe realigning. Like, when you say you're prepared for something you're not prepared for, this is what happens. But I'm glad that they're taking the right precautions. But, you know, before we get to that whole conversation, I just want to say, I'm sorry. I know my phone rang, but luckily I feel like we should head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line because we have a very special guest that wants to also, you know, give her condolences as well. I believe she's there. Is she?
Yeah. Do we have Erica Ogwumike on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line who was just calling her sister in the middle of the show, Erica?
I'm here, but I don't apologize for it.
I love it. You know what? And you shouldn't either because, again, you're in the middle of medical school right now, which is a lot harder than us gasbagging on the radio, correct?
I mean, honestly, what y'all do is definitely hard, but Chanae interrupts my studies every day, so this payback.
And on that note, I banish you. Go back to studying. Love you. Appreciate you. Don't
you
call
don't
me.
Don't call, I got
call,
it.
Okay, whatever. Don't call me from 1 to 4 Pacific, okay? Unless I call you. That's the rule.
I mean, in her defense, you did call
love
her
you, Risco.
Earlier.
I did.
In this, so.
I did, it's but sorry.
It's a little bit understandable. That will hopefully not be your sister's only appearance on the show. We will get to plenty more of, I'm sure, the rest of your family trying to call you during show hours. But in the meantime, there is a conversation that has to be had on the way that COVID-19 and sports intersecting has turned into a competitive advantage conversation that I really can't stomach. Cliff! Oh, I got him. I got him good.
Got him!
Oh, you didn't get me. Devin distracted me, so I'm blaming Devin right now. I'm blaming Devin right now.
Oh, my God. All right, quick, hold on, Cliff. You want me to set it up again here?
Cliff is so quick to snitch.
Wow. I'm not snitching.
Devin, stand up.
I'm not
like,
snitching.
Like, what is happening here?
I'm real.
I can't even imagine. Hold on.
Run it back. Run it back.
Here we go. We're going to start this all over again, all right? Now, there's a conversation to be had about the intersection of sports, COVID-19, and the competitive See, now you got me messed up.
Run it back. One more time.
I don't even know how we're supposed to go on this.
You got this. Third time's the charm. Run it back.
It's just
I want to hear the sound, too, though.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
There are just some days we're not very good at our jobs. This is one of those days.
Or maybe we're too good.
Maybe we are too.
And they're trying to humble us.
You know what? Mission accomplished in that situation. So last night, mission accomplished for the Tennessee Titans. Long hiatus, very big disruption in the middle. COVID-19 outbreak on that team forced them to try and work through a situation that we knew was going to come up for a lot of people and a lot of teams. Their head coach, Mike Vrabel, talked after the game, lauding and heaping praise on his team for doing just that.
Man, we want to win every game. We have to prepare in any manner that we have to get the team ready. All the credit goes to the players for sticking together, to executing a plan, to going from Zoom meetings, to driving in a building, to leaving the building and going back and forth. So all the credit goes to the players for sticking together and going out there and executing and playing in a manner in which they did.
And Chanae, those players have done more than stick together in this. They're actually somewhat defiant in this win. Ryan Tannehill, their quarterback, and this is a tweet courtesy of our own Diana Russini, ESPN NFL insider, said, quote, "We were a little ticked off about how we've been treated, how we've been talked about these last couple of weeks." I mean, Taylor Lewan, their left tackle, basically cut a wrestling promo last night after the game. It has been defiance there, but this isn't the only place we've seen these things pop up. The New Orleans Saints are currently in talks with the folks in Baton Rouge at LSU about playing their games in that stadium because they want to get to a spot where they can have fans. They feel like they've lost a competitive advantage not having fans in the dome there. We heard Dan Mullins talking about wanting to pack the swamp with 90,000 people right before the news comes that their team has to delay and postpone their game against LSU and shut down operations on campus right now. And Chanae, for the life of me, you know and understand this. When you're on the inside, everyone is against you. That's the mentality everyone seems to take, and we see it work all the time. But at some point, when you're trying to do that with the things that come up as a result of a global pandemic, I feel like you're wading into territory that's never going to do anything but put egg on your face.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in this situation we've seen, and we started this segment about being humble, but coronavirus will humble you. If you have these lofty expectations to go out there and just play and sort of skirt around things and be a little bit more flexible than you need to when it comes to preparing, doing tests and doing your due diligence with picking practice facilities and all that type of stuff, this is what happens. And I do think it humbled these teams because you know what this takes me back to? Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, when the coronavirus shutdown happened in the NBA, everyone was saying his name a lot. And I know that weighed heavy on him. You know who was the first one to score a basket back in the NBA when it restarted? Rudy Gobert. You know? And so, yeah, I can see sort of the Titans understanding that they've labeled them as problems for the season, and them using that to humble themselves and also just really seize the opportunity to play. But still, it does have an effect on your opponent. And I think that's where the fairness really takes a hit. Because if you're someone who's had to postpone a game, or even worse, miss a paycheck due to all of these things, that to me is what makes this something where it's no longer the asterisk at the end of the championship, but it's the exclamation point, because you've had to weather so many different storms that may have been on one person's side for one occasion and then your side for another, and still found a way to succeed.
Yeah, I think of what Mike Tomlin brought up in all of this, Chiney, when they had their game postponed because of COVID-19 and because of an outbreak with this team. He said, we understand things are going to pop up in this season, and we're not in the business of making excuses. We're not going to complain about what comes up as it pertains to things around this virus, because they understand there's a bigger picture to take in here. But what's happening in all these other instances, with Dan Mullen talking about the effect that the 12th man had in Texas A&M's upset over Florida, with the Saints, I'm sure, acknowledging some discomfort that you get teams that get to come in to their stadium and not have to deal with that crowd there. And now what we're seeing with this Titans thing, when you're trying to do the normal sports stuff, and we love these tropes, these are things that work time and time again, that us against the world mentality, but when you do it with this particular backdrop, nope, it ends up sounding tone deaf.
Yep.
It really seems to be the end of a lot of this, in a way that is just unfortunate. As unfortunate, quite frankly, top to bottom, left to right, as that entire segment was for us. But I'm going to save it.
I think we landed our dismount, though.
I think we got close.
Okay.
I think we got close, which I appreciate. And I want to save this courtesy of a stat from our own Jason Stark, because I looked at this and I could not believe what I just saw.
I'm
sorry, our own Jason Stark, former, works at The Athletic now, covers Major League Baseball, but still a purveyor of incredible stats. Again,
I'm ready for this.
Round and round I go.
Hit me.
On this one. So, when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, who we're getting ready to talk about in a little bit right now, the LCS, the Braves take a 2-0 lead over the Dodgers. Teams that won the first two games of a best-of-seven LCS are 28-3 in those series. I am shocked, devastated, and appalled, because Atlanta fans finally got something good, something that can bring them joy, Chiné, and yet again, the universe is there to remind them of the numbers brought to haunt their lifestyle. So, unbelievable. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. And speaking of numbers, coming up next, according to numbers, Chicago might be the second worst team to ever start a season 4-1. We'll talk to a man who told us this next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
They can try and convince us that they believe it. That doesn't mean I have to believe them. That's how belief works. Or does it work like that? I don't know. I'm a little lost in this thought. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And someone who's going to be able to help us make a lot more sense of this situation, hopefully, is our good friend Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. He joins us like he does every week when we're actually on the radio, which hasn't always been the case in the last couple of weeks. So, Aaron, good to talk to you again. But I have to ask, do you have any idea what the Jets are doing at this point? Because I surely don't.
No, I don't. And I mean, there's two angles here, right? There's the stats angle, which is the argument that analysts like me have made for a couple of years now, that running backs are not really deserving of big second contracts. Not that they're not nice people or hard workers, but that you just don't get great value out of those running back contracts compared to just drafting a running back or signing one as a street free agent. And I think Le'Veon Bell is a great example of that. Then there's the side that has nothing to do with stat analytics at all. That's the personality side, which is, what is the deal with the Jets and all of their best players don't want to play for them? Like Jamal Adams traded away after he basically demanded a trade. C.J. Mosley opted out of the season. Le'Veon Bell wants nothing to do with them. Robbie Anderson signs with another team in free agency. Whatever the heck happened with Kelechi Osemele during the season last year. Like, Adam Gase seems to turn everybody off.
Yeah, that is a problem that we are all seeking answers for today. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders here on Chiné and Golic Jr. Now, going from the news we heard yesterday now to yesterday's game, Titans win versus the streaking Bills. But what really went wrong for the Bills yesterday?
Well, it didn't go very right for them. I mean, Allen had a very average game, although you can't blame him for a couple of the drops from their receivers. But the bigger problem is that Allen has shockingly been carrying that team all year with his remarkable, unexpected performance. They are the worst running game in the league so far this year by our numbers, and they rank 27th on defense. So we went into the season thinking Allen was the problem. Instead, Allen's been the only really good thing about that team, and he's carrying them to the 4-1 record. They have to improve their running and defense.
And so if that's a team that maybe the quarterback has lifted them further than they maybe should be, considering the rest of the parts, they still, according to you guys, are not even close to the worst 4-1 football team that's sitting out there in the ether right now, correct?
Correct. It's a weird year where we have teams with losing records ranked higher than teams with winning records. We have Chicago really low. Like, they are the second worst team that we've ever measured to be 4-1. The worst was actually another Chicago team in 2010. But this is a team that has played close games, and the first couple games were against bad opponents, and they played them very close. And they're just not as good as the record. They've gotten very lucky with what's going on in game. The good news for Chicago is that a lot of similar teams in the past ended up making the playoffs anyway. So they still have a pretty strong chance to make the playoffs. It's better to win games than to have a better rating.
So I want to actually lean into that. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, here with us. Who are some teams that are better than their record? And I am keeping my fingers crossed because I grew up in Texas.
Well, if you're a Dallas fan, then, you know, I've got some bad news for you. They haven't really been better than the record so far. If you're a Houston fan,
yes,
I've got some surprising news because we have them better than their record so far.
Yes.
We have Minnesota 11th and Houston 13th, and even though both teams are 1-4, and the main reason is that both teams have played very difficult schedules so far. Those are the two teams that have played the hardest schedules in the league so far this year, and they have a number of close losses, right? Minnesota has lost two games by 1 point each. And Houston played a couple of close games with the really good teams like Pittsburgh, and they lost to Minnesota, right? These two teams played each other in a close game. So we have Minnesota and Houston as playing better so far than their records. Unfortunately, this is the flip side of the Chicago thing. Most of the similar teams in history that played better than their records through the first five games didn't turn it around and make the playoffs.
Some difficult things to overcome in that situation as we're talking to Football Outsiders. Aaron Schatz on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. Aaron, only got about a minute left, but you got an upset pick for us this week that has something to do with the aforementioned NFC North.
Yeah, absolutely. We like Tampa Bay to beat Green Bay this week. Tampa Bay is a surprising second in our ratings, and Green Bay is only sixth because while they are clearly the number one offense in the game, we have them only 29th right now on defense. They've allowed a lot of yards. Now, they allow a lot of yards and points when they're winning big in games, but our research has shown that that is predictive of the future, and this game is in Tampa Bay, so Tampa gets to be at home, and they will have fans in the stand. So we like Tampa Bay to upset Green Bay this week.
The Bucks upset battle of the Green Bay Packers is Breaking Moves, Making Moves, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Aaron, always a pleasure, man. We look forward to talking to you next week, all right?
Thanks, Aaron.
Talk to you guys next week.
Again, Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And, Janae, there you go. Good. We're looking for good news in the world. We don't even have to talk about your side pieces anymore. The Houston Texans, better than their record, but still probably not going to make the playoffs. Has a nice ring to it, right?
Which means I still need my side pieces.
Exactly. Not too soon to keep going to the well on those side pieces. So hopefully they can keep a lot of that up and eventually get to the mountaintop. But coming up next, as we're talking about getting to the mountaintop and still basking in the glow of what I'm sure is waiting for a championship parade in Los Angeles, we'll talk to a guy who's been a part of a lot of those moments and who happens to coach one of our co-hosts here. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN
Let's
Radio.
Let's go, Fish!